Earlier this spring, Manitoba Conservation held hearings for an environmental license for SanGold Corporation to build a tailings pond. The pond is for the toxic waste produced by their mining operations near the town of Bisset on the east side of Lake Winnipeg. On June 7th, the Wilderness Committee discovered that the construction of the tailings pond has already begun without a license. Eric Redder is Manitoba Campaign Director with the Wilderness Committee, and he joins me in the studio. Welcome, Eric.
Thanks for having me here again.
Why is building a tailings pond in this area an environmental concern?
The tailings pond is sitting just off the shores of the Wanapagal River. It's about 45 kilometers upstream from Lake Winnipeg. And the tailings operation that is planned will be draining water into the Wanapagal River. And downstream of that, of course, we have cottage developments and also a community that pulls water out of the Wanapagal for their water treatment plant for the community.
Now, the hearings for the environmental license were completed last month. When would the company normally expect to hear if it has to go ahead for this project?
Well, usually the public comment period, it was a 30-day public comment period, usually within a couple of months, the environmental licensing branch, whoever is in charge of the file, will assemble something called the Technical Advisory Committee. They'll look at the license and say there's maybe 10 different departments who could have input into how this proposed development will impact the environment. You know, whether it's somebody from species or wildlife operations or someone from Manitoba Water Stewardship or even climate change or greenhouse gases, any of the different departments who might have a say in this. So the 30-day public comment period will pass. The Technical Advisory Committee during that same 30 days will look at this proposal and the public's comments. All of this will be assembled by environmental licensing, and then within, you know, 2 or 3 months, they'll have looked at it and they'll make a decision based on the Technical Advisory Committee and the public and issue a license. So usually you'd at least wait another 8 to 12 weeks.
And so you went up there a couple of weeks ago and saw that there'd already been some work done. What did you see up there?
Yeah, we were up on June 7th. Now, the comment period ended for this May 24th. And on June 6th, I was asked to come up to the community of Hollowater to listen in while they had a presentation from SanGold, who's building this tailings pond. And so we sat there for about 2.5 hours listening to the different things that SanGold was presenting on this proposal. And after the meeting, somebody eventually came and said, you know, you should go take a look at this site. And as it turns out, they'd begun construction. They'd bulldozed the forest. They'd logged everything as of starting in January. And then subsequent to that, I heard from cottage owners in the area that they had, in the middle of January, they saw a big, huge fires in the area. They were very concerned. They drive out and they realize they were burning off the excess fiber. So this has been going on since January, and when SanGold presented to the community on June 6th, they didn't happen to mention that the project was already started.
Do you have evidence from Manitoba Conservation that they were aware of this project and that it had already begun without authorization?
Well, the town of Bisset is very small. It's only a couple kilometers across, a few hundred people, and in that town is a Manitoba Conservation Office. Now, this tailings pond construction is right along the edge of the main highway into town, and we felt there was no way that the conservation wouldn't have known this was happening. So subsequent to our bringing, you know, publicity to this problem that they're constructing it before the environmental license was issued, SanGold said that they'd gotten permission. They had permits from Manitoba Conservation to do the logging, and they paid stumpage. So the project was definitely authorized by the Manitoba government before the environmental license was issued.
Have you spoken with them since?
No. Interestingly, on June 1st, I had been waiting for several months to get a meeting with the new conservation minister. So on June 1, I sat down with Conservation Minister McIntosh in his office, and we spoke for about an hour. And one of the things I presented on was this particular project. Because the public comment period had ended on May 24th, the community members had contacted me and said, we're concerned about this. We want to learn more information. And one of the counselors, the vice chief, had said, maybe we should look at extending the comment period, and we'll get a little bit more information. The community wanted to know about water sampling data over the last 15 years that the existing tailings pond had been in operation, because they're concerned about their water, obviously. So when I spoke to the conservation minister, I said you should extend the public comment period and provide this water sample data for the community, and this project will go through smoothly. So I didn't follow up with the conservation minister since then. I sent an email before we found out that the construction, and said, well, you know, I want to follow up and just confirm we talked about this, and I'll hear from the office. So I haven't heard back from them yet, but prior to even finding that they'd already started construction, we've been waiting for the conservation minister to pass us more information.
Now, what do you think this incident says about the environmental assessment process here in Manitoba?
Yeah, this was another one of the indications. We've had several problems, we feel, with environmental licensing. Going back to 2009, when they issued a license to build a logging road across Grass River Provincial Park, we looked at the advice that the Technical Advisory Committee had given. In that case, it was most of the conservation staff and parks and water stewardship, and they had all said, we don't like this project, and yet the project was still went forward. So the environmental licensing seemed to be ignoring the advice of experts. Now, moving forward to the last year, in January, we started going over peat mine licenses on the show here, speaking about that. And again, there were people in the Technical Advisory Committee, government experts, who were saying this project isn't, we don't like the way this project is laid out. There's still some concerns. And environmental licensing said that they were going to put conditions onto the license, and yet that didn't happen, and they were issued licenses anyways. So this is just another indication. Now, in this case, somebody said, oh, well, they're going to get the license. It's a foregone conclusion. We might as well start construction. And, I mean, that's a real problem for us. And I would hope that Conservation Minister McIntosh is seriously looking into this and figuring out how they're going to change the process so that we don't have these problems in the future.
You also recently released a report on the state of mining in Manitoba parks. What should the Manitoba government be doing better to protect their parks?
Again, this is very similar to the park logging campaign, the campaign to end logging in our provincial parks. We're one of the areas, one of the jurisdictions that allows mining exploration with very few constraints in our provincial parks. Now, a lot of areas in the world, a park is a park. It's a protected area. It's there for, you know, for solace, for us to enjoy nature, for us to know that we're protecting really valuable ecosystems. Now, in Manitoba, mining is allowed to happen. And so basically what our report was talking about and what we looked at is, where do we go forward with park mining? And Canadian government in 1930 banned mining in national parks. And we need to do the same thing in Manitoba. We need to eliminate the amount of impact that claims our mining and mineral exploration is having in our parks. So there's something over 750 claims in provincial parks. And what we need to do at first is ban all new mining claims and then put a time limit on the claims that are in a park. And then if anybody really wants to go forward, they found a very large deposit of whatever mineral in a park, then take a really serious look at whether or not this is a good idea, or whether we should just buy those claims out and, you know, continue to protect our parks. But at the end of the day, what we need to have is we need our parks to be actually protected areas. And right now they're not, and the biggest threat that we have is mining. So we're hoping the government is going to move on that.
Well, thanks for coming in and speaking with us today again about this, Eric.
Thanks for having me on.
I've been speaking with Eric Redder, Manitoba Campaign Director with the Wilderness Committee. Their report, Ban Mining in Manitoba Parks, is available at wildernesscommittee.org/Manitoba. You're listening to Mud and Water on CKUW 95.9 FM.